Today, as we come to the table,
I've been fighting this for years, and I know it's right. And I know you see everything. You see that rock just collapse in their heart, and they're ready for Christ. See, that's what the Word of God does. So the third thing that we need to be doing that God is going to have Moses do is share the Word of God. Now, Pharaoh hardened his heart and never did relent and give in. Some people will be that way, but some people did soften their heart. As a matter of fact, there was a big contingency of the Egyptians that came with them when they left. So there was an evangelistic outreach through Moses as he had the power over the serpent and the power over leprosy and or sin and was sharing the Word of God. He was breaking hearts and softening the hearts in doing this, and it was having a powerful effect. And remember, people may not admit that you're having an effect, but you are.
When you share the Word of God, it's not always going to have an immediate effect. Wouldn't it be nice if it did, though? If everyone you told about Jesus immediately acknowledged their sin and turned to Him? Even though that doesn't often happen, it doesn't mean you should give up sharing the gospel. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark reminds you today to keep telling people about Jesus every chance you get. All you need to do is plant the seed. God's got the rest. As you'll discover today, God simply asked Moses to obey. He didn't guarantee the result. But because of Moses' obedience, many people learned about the love of the Lord. Let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Exodus chapter 4 as he continues his message, Signs of Salvation.
I remember somebody asking me one time, they saw me do something in particular, and they were an unbeliever, and they said to me, how did you just do that? How did you deny yourself from blah, blah, whatever? And I didn't even realize they were watching me or even had seen that I'd done that. And I just said to them, it's the power of God in my life. If it wasn't for Christ, I couldn't have done that. I would have done the same thing that everybody else would have done. But because I have the power of God in my life, and I have the ability. Now, does that mean I always use the power of God and I always run on all cylinders, you know, and everything's perfect? No. Here's the question. When I sin, do I have an excuse? No. Not anymore. I can say things like, but I'm a sinner and I'll be a sinner till heaven. That's true. I can't deny that. But I've now been given the power to say no to sin every time. Will I? Probably not. In the weakness of my flesh, I'm not in the Word, I'm not in prayer, I'm caught off guard, whatever. But the power's there. And here's what I found. Whenever the temptation comes on, if I run to the cross and say, God, you got to help me, or I get out of there, if I do all the things the Bible tells me, the Bible says with every temptation, God gives what? A way of escape. So if I get out of there and I begin to pray, He always gives me victory. I've never once, as long as I obeyed what the Word said, I've always been able to have victory over sin. The times that I've not had victory over sin is when I've just, I can handle this. It's not going to bother me. I can handle this. Guess what? I can't handle it. And if you think you can, you're deceiving yourself. I think this is one of the greatest tricks the enemy uses on believers. He makes us think somehow that we can handle it. We're mature enough. We have kind of gotten beyond that. That's the most dangerous place for a Christian to be. I think the safest place for everyone in this room to be is this. I know that I can sin. I hope you know that you can fall. You know that you can fall. You know that. If you know you can fall, you'll set up boundaries so that you don't. How many times have I talked to believers that have fallen and said, I never thought it would happen to me. I never believed. I've seen other people and I just didn't think that I would ever. And then you say, well, how did it happen? You find out they didn't have boundaries in those areas. And then they find out, you know, that they can't do it. You've got to find out where you need to put the boundaries up and put the boundaries up, and then you'll have victory. So his hand, again, the whole leprosy thing, he says, now put your hand in your bosom again, verse 7. So he put his hand in his bosom again, drew it out in the bosom. Behold, it was restored like the other. So you know, he shows that he has power over the serpent. He has power over sin, and he's going to use that in his testimony to Pharaoh and the world. He says, then it will be if they do not believe you nor heed the message of the first sign, that is the power over the serpent, that they may believe the message of the latter sign, that is the power over leprosy or sin, we would say, in spiritual type, but literally leprosy there. He says, look, if they don't believe those two, then do this. It shall be if they do not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice. Then take water from the river and pour it on dry land. The water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land. land. Now God gives Moses these last two signs that are intended to sway Pharaoh and the hearts of the people. What are they? Note he says, listening to your voice. They're going to be listening to Moses' voice, but what is Moses going to be doing with his voice? Proclaiming the word of God. He's going to be sharing with Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, let my people go and let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness. So he's basically going to be giving a Bible study. He's going to be sharing the word of God. And he's also going to be turning water to blood as he pours it out on the ground. So again, you see, the Bible says that the word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So as Moses spoke the word of God, it would pierce Pharaoh's heart. And at the same time, the same thing is true for us today. This third sign that we have, not only power over the serpent, not only power over sin, but the word of God. We should be proclaiming the word of God. And when we do that, guys, it defeats the enemy, but it also pierces the heart of the unbeliever. And you might think, look, I've shared the word with this person for years, and I share this and share that, and they just don't listen. God's word is powerful. You may not see the immediate result, but I guarantee you something is happening in the heart. You know, in Jeremiah, it says that God's word is like a mallet. It's like a hammer, a mallet that's hitting the rock. And again, if you've ever studied about breaking up rocks, the way you break up a rock is you just continue to hit it. And as you continue to hit the rock, all these little fissures, these little cracks begin to happen in the rock. The more you hit it, you sometimes don't even see anything on the outside. You'll see the white part where the mallet is hitting the rock, but all these little cracks are happening. And as all these cracks continue to happen, somebody else shares at the mall, and somebody shares at Thanksgiving, and somebody shares at Christmas, and somebody shares at this, somebody shares at work, and all this hammer, kaboom, 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 kaboom. And they fight it for years. Their heart is a rock. Their heart is hard as a rock. Ever heard that? God says that God's word is the mallet that breaks even the rock in pieces. So our job is to continue whacking away. Now don't nag away and don't, you know, when they stop, then stop. Don't throw pearls to swine. But use every opportunity you have. You don't know which mallet. It might be your mallet whacked it. Wham. That's it. And they say, no, that is fall to pieces. Like, oh, I need Christ. I've been fighting this for years, and I know it's right. Now, and now you see everything. You see that rock just collapse in their heart, and they're ready for Christ. See, that's what the Word of God does. So the third thing that we need to be doing that God is going to have Moses do is share the Word of God. Now, Pharaoh hardened his heart and never did relent and give in. Some people will be that way, but some people did soften their heart. As a matter of fact, there was a big contingency of the Egyptians that came with them when they left. So there was an evangelistic outreach through Moses as he had the power over the serpent and the power over leprosy and or sin and was sharing the word of God. He was breaking hearts and softening the hearts in doing this, and it was having a powerful effect. And remember, people may not admit that you're having an effect, but you are. But notice the fourth thing, and this one is just as powerful. He tells Moses to pour water out on the ground, and God said it would become blood before their very eyes. And again, this is another sign that God gives us to use when it comes to sharing our faith, and that is the blood of Christ. Sharing about the blood. The fact that Jesus poured out his blood. And interestingly enough, on the cross, what came out from Jesus? Blood and water. And it came down upon the ground. And that testimony of the cross and his blood and water that spilled out on the ground is what brings people to Jesus Christ and salvation. He says, Moses, take the water, pour it to the ground, and it will become what? Blood. And now you have the water and the blood, this fourth sign of basically the cross. So you see, this whole thing that God is putting together are still true today, and it's beautiful. What a picture God has given us of what we're to be as Christians, not just sharing this with the world, but ourselves as well. But notice a serpent or a rod, which in Deuteronomy, God says it was a picture of the cross. It shows power over Satan. But remember when the serpents bit them, he said, put a serpent on the rod and raise it up. And later on, Jesus used that as an example of the cross, sin being represented by the serpent. He said, you know what? I will be lifted up, just like Moses lifted up the rod in the wilderness. He made an equation to Moses's rod and what was going on with the rod and the picture of the serpent being sin. He made that equation to the cross. So even as he did that with Moses, God says today, lift up my name. Talk about the cross and my sacrifice. The second thing is leprosy. Let people know they're sinners. You know, I hear some guys say today, well, I'm never going to talk about sin from the pulpit. Guys, to me, that's a false prophet. If you're somebody say they're not going to talk about sin from the pulpit, you have to talk about leprosy. If you don't talk about sin, how do they know they even have sin? See, this is what's so insidious about some of the things that Satan is trying to do now by passing laws that would prevent us from speaking about certain sins. Because if there's certain sins, if there are people involved in that sin, let's say the government passed a law, you cannot say anything about adultery. And it's hate speech. And if you speak about adultery from the pulpit, it's hate speech, and you're going to be fined. First, you'll lose your tax-exempt status. Then after you lose your tax-exempt status, you're going to be facing prison time if you keep saying that people that commit adultery are wrong. Well, I have two choices to make at that moment. either say, well, I don't want to, you know, go to jail, so I'll quit sharing about adultery. The problem is, if I quit sharing about the sin of adultery, people that are in adultery, what's their hope of salvation? It's gone. They might as well be condemned to eternal hell and separation from God. I'm not saying they can't get it other ways. The point, you get my point. The messenger's job is to let people know that's a sin. You've got to turn from that in order to enter the kingdom of God. And the other choice is, well, I guess if I share, then maybe I'm facing jail time. All right, Lord, I'd rather be right with you and face jail time than to see someone go to hell. You know, jail time's better than hell time. And so, you know, this whole thing of the leprosy, we've got to, that's another picture. We've got to talk about sin. We have to talk about it. Now, how we do it, we need to do it in love. Because that's huge. If it's not done in love, nobody's going to listen anyway. Nobody likes somebody screaming in their face about their sin. You know, I mean, people could scream in my face about my sin. I knew about my sin. You know what I needed to know about? Not that I didn't need to know about my sin, but I didn't need anybody yelling at me about it. I needed somebody in love to say, you know what, that is a sin, Mark, and that'll keep you from the kingdom. But I want to give you hope in the gospel. Here's how you can have that sin washed away. It's in the blood of Christ. So there's the second thing. The third thing, Moses sharing God's word. And then lastly, the blood and the water falling to the ground. Again, the picture is impossible to miss. So Moses giving the whole picture, really the gospel message in this whole thing with all these signs that he was supposed to give to Pharaoh and to the people there. But even more amazing to me than all these signs that the Lord did is the supernatural resurrection. It's one thing to have all these signs, but the fact that Jesus rose from the grave. You know, it's amazing to me that people still don't believe today when he rose from the grave. The Bible says over 500 people saw him at one time after he resurrected. How do you deny that? How many people does it take in court to prove somebody's guilty of something? I guarantee you it doesn't take 500. And if you were to take Christ to trial, you would see that it's very easy to prove that he was alive, that he lived, that he resurrected, and had all the signs to prove it. Now, as I brought up earlier, it's signs of salvation. We need to realize it's not just the signs that we show the world so that unbelievers might believe. It's also important that we exhibit these signs in our own life to prove that we do. Again, to be careful of that epidemic of the false salvation in the South, to make sure that we truly know the Lord. Because if we don't demonstrate clear evidence in our life that we belong to Christ, it shows that we're either, number one, backslidden. See, if you're not showing these evidences in your life, you may be a true believer and you're just backslidden. But you better make sure that you knew Christ at some point and it's time to come back. But we're either backslidden or we've never really known the Lord. And so here's the challenge to us tonight, guys, as we wrap this up. Here's what I want to ask some questions. Do we demonstrate by our lives that we're children of God by these signs? Number one, do we have power over the serpent or Satan in our lives? Do we have power over him or does he have power over us? Just look at your life and you'll know that. Everybody knows the answer to that. Number two, do we have power over sin? Or does sin have power over us? Here's my point. Do you stumble occasionally because you let your guard down? Or do you live a lifestyle of sin? If you're living a lifestyle of sin, you're either backslidden or you don't know Christ or you're not using the power that's been given you. It can only be one of those three. Thirdly, do we listen or understand to God's word when we hear it and read it? Does God's word mean anything? I remember having a friend one time after I came to Christ in Nashville. All my buddies were the bad crowd. Because I was the bad crowd. I'm not calling names. I'm just saying it wasn't good. And I remember sharing with one of them after I came to Christ and finally convinced her to read the Bible. Okay, I'll read it, you know, because she liked me so much. We were good friends. I'll read it. So she read it. She tells me the next day or whenever I saw her the next time. She says, yeah, I read the Bible. I ended up throwing it across the room. She didn't understand it and she felt condemned by it. And the reality was, until she repented, she was condemned. What I was trying to convince her of is, don't you see, none of that applies to you. If you receive Christ, you're forgiven. So we need to have that understanding of God's word. That should be another sign in our life if we're a true believer. Lastly, do we trust in his blood and water on the cross falling to the ground to save us from our sin? Do we really believe that his body and his blood paid for our sin? It's got to be there. If there's not clear evidence in our lives that we belong to God tonight, guys, we need to deal with it before we leave. As we take communion, we need to not only remember what he's done for us, we need to thank him in our heart. I want to sing a song, and we'll do that here in just a minute. We always sing, you know, a song to make sure we have time just to get right in our heart. Take some time just to get right, get clean, ask God to forgive you. Just begin to thank him for what he's done. You know, when we take communion, we're supposed to remember. It's not just the cracker and the juice or whatever. You know, again, as a kid, that was a fun time for me. My dad was the pastor, and they would take all the leftovers to the church kitchen. And the pastor's kid, he could pretty much go anywhere he wanted. Nobody'd say anything, you know. So if all the other kids couldn't go in there, but I could go anywhere I wanted, so I'd run in the kitchen and eat all the crackers and drink the juice, you know. To me, it was just a neat time to have an extra snack. But that's not what tonight's about. Tonight it's about his body. As the Bible says that the Lord gave his body for us. Think about that. How many of us give our body for anybody except for bad reasons? How many of us give our body in a self-sacrificial way? You know, how many of us have died for someone? I guarantee you, if you're here tonight, none of us have. He wouldn't be here if he died for somebody, right? He died for us. He laid his life down, his body. He let them just, I mean, he could have stopped at any minute. You know, you watch these movies and you see these guys, and as a kid, I used to love The Incredible Hulk, right? Because The Incredible Hulk, as a kid, I don't know what it's like today. I think it's kind of weird today. But I remember as a kid, they had, you know, this whole thing. And I remember Lou Ferrigno, you know, he was the guy that played The Incredible Hulk. And I'd watch this guy, and his eyes would turn green, you know. And it was always this, somebody was mistreating somebody. And he would just stop it, you know. And we all want to be able to do that, right? We see something that's wrong, and we want to just stop it, you know. Be the hero. And now everything's good, right? It's not that way now. Yes, we want to stop what's wrong, but look what Christ did. You talk about the Incredible Hulk, that's nothing. God Almighty let these guys spit on him, beat him in the face with a bag over his head so he didn't know where the punches were coming from, pull a hair out of his beard and out of his head, you know, whip him to the point to where it ripped the flesh off the body. We know that historically is the way those flagellums would do, is they would just rip the skin off, and they'd have bone and glass and metal and all these things tied in these different straps of leather as they hit him, and it would just like rip and tear the skin off. You know, given like, they would give you a maximum of, I think, 40 lashes, but if you confessed what you did wrong, they'd make it easier as it went along and less and then stop. He had nothing to confess. What's he going to say? He didn't do anything wrong, which means they would continue to give him all the lashes, full strength, all the way to 40. And sometimes, very often, men actually died from that. He gave his body for you. That's what this cracker is going to represent. His body, he did all that for you. Then when he talks about the blood, we're going to drink from the cup. You know, we'll do it afterwards together. You know, he spilled his blood. Remember, he got there in blood and water. I mean, the blood coming down from his body that was already beaten. Then when they drove the nails in, more blood coming down and dripping down on the cross. And I'm not trying to be grotesque. I'm trying to just give you the image of what he's done for us. And then when they pierced him, it was blood and water poured on the ground, even as Moses would pour the water and the blood, all the symbolism that's there that he was doing. He poured it out for us. This is what you're remembering when you remember the bread and you remember the cup. Because I think God wants us to do this for a number of reasons. Number one, he wants us to remember that we love him. And some of you tonight may not remember that. Sometimes people even accuse God of not loving him. Let me tell you something. If you did that for someone and they accused you of not loving them, how would you feel? How do you think the Lord feels when we say, God, you don't love me because, right? If you loved me, you would have, right? How do you think he feels? Oh, it's a dagger to the heart. Now, if that's you, take the dagger out and know that it's because of what he did on the cross. You're forgiven. He loves you. Just ask him to forgive you. He knows we're weak. I'm telling you, on a regular basis, I'm like, oh, Lord, remember I'm only dust. Remember that I'm only dust. And sometimes I start thinking I'm more than dust. And that he reminds me real quickly, no, you're still just dirt. You're dust. And he's got his ways of showing us, doesn't he? He really does. And it's good. It's good to be humbled. And it's good to realize that because then we give him the glory. So tonight as we do this, we're going to remember his body. We're going to remember his blood. And we're just going to enjoy our God. If you don't know Christ, here's what you do. You ask God to forgive you of your sin, and you pray from your heart. You say, Lord, I give my life to you. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. The Bible says if you do that, you will be forgiven, and you're a child of God. And so I want you to do that if you hadn't done that tonight. As a believer, if you sin this week, and if you got sin that's bothering you, and no doubt we all sin, just ask God to forgive you. Ask God to bring things to your mind to remind you, you know. I'm sitting in prayer time before we start tonight, and God starts reminding me of things. So while they're praying for the service, I'm saying, God, forgive me of this and God, forgive me of that. Because I want to be clean. And I especially have to be clean. If I'm going to share with you guys about being clean, you know, God sees my heart. And so I'm clean. Not because I didn't do it, but because I confessed it. So as we worship the Lord, just confess it. Get clean if you're already a believer. And then we'll let God just kind of minister how he wants to minister tonight. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your body. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for the signs that you give us to the world that we can show them that we know you, like you gave Moses. And thank you, Lord, for the signs that we should have in our life. And I pray right now, first of all, if there's anybody here tonight, Lord, that doesn't have those signs. I mean, they just readily admit, I don't have power over Satan. I don't have power over sin. I don't really share the word of God ever. And I don't really talk about the blood or really claim the blood in my sin. Lord, I don't know that I know you. God, if there's anybody like that tonight, if that's you tonight, I want you to do this. I want you to pray this prayer. I've explained the gospel to you, but I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. And I believe that you died for me on the cross and that you spilled your blood for me. And so, Lord, I ask you, God, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. And if you prayed that prayer, the Bible says that if you really prayed it from your heart, you're in Christ. You are now saved. But Lord, I pray for maybe some in this room like me that needed to confess, and I had a chance to before the service, but maybe they weren't thinking about it. Maybe they were too busy. Maybe right now you're bringing things to their mind like you did mine in that prayer room. And that right now they need to confess, and they need to ask your forgiveness. They know you, Lord. That's secure. But they need to be clean. If that's you, begin to confess your sin right now. Just begin to confess before the Lord. Ask him to forgive you and ask even forgiveness of the specific sin. I thank you, Lord. God, you hear the prayers and the hearts around the room. And Lord, I pray now that you'd give us the courage and by your Spirit the power to not only confess it, but now repent. And Lord, we know that means stop doing it. No more excuses. You've given us the power over leprosy. And when we see it on our hand, all we need to do, Lord, is take it back to your heart and bring it out again from our heart asking forgiveness, and we will be clean. And I pray that you would do that tonight, God, in our hearts, and that we would truly repent and stop doing it. We use your power. And I even pray right now, God, for a fresh filling of the Spirit. Lord, I just pray that right now you begin to pour your Spirit out on us. We need your power to be able to walk with you, Lord. Otherwise, we can't. So I pray that you'd pour out your Spirit on us, God, that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit. And if that's you and you want to be filled fresh with God's Spirit tonight, maybe some of you being filled with the Spirit or baptized in the Holy Spirit for the first time. If you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I want you right now to begin to ask God, you know, baptize me, Lord. Begin to pray that. That just means that God will immerse you in his Spirit, just like in water, but spiritual water, and God will give you power over sin. So begin to ask God to baptize you in his Spirit if that's never been a part of your life as a believer. And Lord, I pray you just baptize those that are asking right now for that baptism. And if you've been baptized in the Spirit, if you've already been filled before, the Bible tells us as well that we need to be filled on a regular basis. So Lord, again, hear our prayers right now. And I want to pray this as well, but you guys can pray this along with me. Those of you that already know Christ and you want to be filled fresh, Lord, we ask that you'd come upon us right now, that you'd fill us fresh with your Holy Spirit. We need your power to do this thing called the Christian life. We need your power to do this thing called being a witness. We need your power, Lord, just to be able to be all you want us to be in you. So fill us, God, pour out your Spirit on us and do it. We receive, Lord, by faith. In the name of Jesus, we receive right now. And we thank you, Lord. Move among us, God. We pray you continue to move among us as we worship you and as we bless you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for coming to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark for his study in the book of Exodus. This Old Testament book of the Bible is an interesting one, as it's the end of one era for the people of Israel, heading into a new season for them that leads them back to their homeland. Through the events in this book, you'll learn of God's miraculous ways of bringing people to freedom. Just looking at the seemingly impossible things that God brought about through the book of Exodus helps you realize that he's a God of power, authority, and incredible majesty. The Israelites experienced this firsthand, but it didn't take long for them to forget what he'd done. Can you relate? Perhaps you've seen God work in your life in amazing ways, but it doesn't take long to be back in a place where you feel like God isn't working in your life. If that's so, we'd really like to be a support for you in prayer. If you go to thewaymedia.net, you'll find a questions and comments link. Go ahead and fill out this form, and we'd like to know what we can be praying for, as well as any thoughts or comments about what you've heard today. You can also listen to additional teachings at thewaymedia.net. That's all the time we have for today, but Pastor Mark has more to share from the miracle-filled book of Exodus. We hope you'll join us again and learn and grow in ways that God speaks to you personally related to the things written down in Exodus. We're thankful for you taking the time today to listen, and we look forward to you joining us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.